this record in 2 Peter chapter 1 that I'd like to share with you tonight is very simple, and yet it is very, very heavy. The more you work it, the more you see how the diamonds are hidden in it, and that you just work away to uncover the beauty of those polished gems. This record in Peter is a real gem, speaking to our people and to those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ again this night. The first thing in the first verse you notice about Simon Peter is that he is a servant. The more responsibility God has given you, the greater your service has to be to your fellow men. If you want to really be a servant of God, you have to sell out to God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to become a doulos, a branded slave, is what it is. And the branding of that slave means that after that slave has been given freedom, his master has released him, given complete freedom, he could do as he liked, go where he wants to go. He, by the freedom of his will, chose to go back to his master and say to him, I would like to be your slave all the rest of the days of my life. And then the master would brand him, put the brand on him. And the master from that day on would be totally responsible for this slave. He would have to meet his every need, give him housing, food, clothing, spending money, automobiles, everything. He'd have to take care of him completely according to the greatness of his family, that this slave would not bring disgrace upon his family by the family not supplying his need abundantly. When the Lord Jesus Christ purchased us with his own precious blood, he made it possible for you, by the freedom of your will, to accept him and to come to him and to say to him, I want to be your slave. Then he puts his brand on you. You're marked for the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that day on, he takes care of your every need. He supplies all of your need according to his riches in glory by whom? And on that day, he says to you, you are more than a conqueror. On that day, he says, you have a life which is more than abundant. All of these great truths that I teach in the foundational class only become available to people when they really sell out. Sure, when you're born again, that's wonderful, but the selling out is a head trip. It's something in your mind, something in your whole being wherewith you say, look, I'm totally committed, totally sold out. And only then do you have really the brand of the Lord Jesus Christ put upon you. That's what that word's talking about. Peter, a servant, a bonded slave. And then an apostle of Jesus Christ. Ministries belong to people who sell out. People who are totally sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. People who really commit themselves. And then Peter became an apostle. Apostle is one who brings new light to his generation. It may be old light, but it's new to the generation he speaks to. Peter was an apostle with the new light to that generation. And he was not an apostle of Peter. He was not an apostle of a denomination. He was not an apostle of an ideology or a philosophy or a theological position. He was an apostle of whom? Jesus Christ. When you're marked out as a slave, then you speak what the Master wants you to speak. You voice what the Master wants voiced. You say what the Master says. Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He spoke what Jesus Christ wanted spoken. He said it the way it was to be said. And I'm sure at times Peter had some very wonderful temptations to endeavor to enlarge upon it a little and to add his own personal likes or dislikes to it. But he did not succumb to that temptation, else he would not have been listed and recorded as a servant of Jesus Christ, as a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He got to the place in his life where he was totally sold out, and he only spoke what God wanted spoken, and he spoke it the way God wanted it spoken. Now the word Jesus comes first in this verse, because whenever this word precedes the word Christ, it emphasizes the earthliness, the humility, the frailty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And naturally, our service to our fellow men is on an horizontal level. Therefore, our ministry would have to read of Jesus Christ. Whenever the word Christ precedes the word Jesus, it magnifies his messianic mission. It magnifies the resurrection element, the part that really is the success of what Jesus accomplished. You see, the word Jesus simply means Savior. You know this. It's the same word as the word Joshua in the Old Testament. Anybody who saved anybody from an automobile accident or from getting shot or a nation, that person could be called Jesus. He was their Savior. That's what the word Joshua means in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New. Jesus is our Savior, but he's more than that. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Messianic One. He is the resurrected one. That's why when people are born again of God's Spirit, in the Word of God, it never once says that we are in Jesus. It says we are in Christ. If it's said in Jesus, your Bible would fall to pieces. Not once does it say in Jesus. You have to go to a denomination to hear that. You'll never read it in a word. That's right. You know, they come along and say, are you in Jesus? Huh. What they say, not what the Word says. We are in Christ. In Christ. And it never says that Jesus is in you. It says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Boy, you talk about the greatness of the Word, its efficacy and its accuracy. You don't buy that kind of stuff in a five and dime. You get it from working the Word. Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? To those who have obtained like precious faith with us. To those who have obtained like precious faith. Well, praise the Lord, you and I have that like precious faith. This is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you received when you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believed God raised him from the dead. You received the faith of Jesus Christ, which is a spiritual inside job. You obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of what? God. Or by means of God's righteousness. And our Savior. Our what? Savior. Our Jesus, Jesus. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we got it. And this is the righteousness of God. Isn't it Romans that says, which is dealt to every man when he does what? Believes. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually, you got the righteousness of God. Over here again, it's put in the genitive case. Righteousness of God, to emphasize God and not the righteousness. It puts the emphasis on God, the giver, and not on the righteousness we received. It puts it on God, and that's where it ought to be. On the righteousness of God, or God's righteousness. I have taught you before that if you have descriptive words like mighty angels, for instance, you want to emphasize might or angels, how do you write it? In English, there's no way to do it, generally speaking, but there is when you work language, when you work grammar and usage of words. If you want to emphasize it, you put it in the genitive case. Angels of might. If you want to emphasize the strength of the angels, you put the word might in the genitive case. If you want to emphasize angels, you simply say mighty angels. Well, if you want to emphasize their strength, you put it in the genitive and say, angels of what? Here it is, righteousness of whom? Wants to emphasize God, the creator of all heaven and earth. And to emphasize this, which he gave his righteousness. People, this is just so fantastically true and great. That they're just words, human words, that fail to describe all of its beauty. This righteousness of God, which came by the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how the righteousness of God came. That's why it says, through the righteousness of God, or by means of the righteousness of God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The work that made possible for your righteousness and mine was accomplished by God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we got it. How it was made available to us. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace are only multiplied when you get a knowledge of God. When you do not possess a knowledge or have a knowledge of God, the grace and the peace will not be multiplied. Grace and peace become multiplied to you as you get more knowledge of God. That's when it's multiplied. Knowledge of God. And in order to have a knowledge of God, you will have to have a knowledge of Jesus as Lord. In Romans 10:9, remember it says, if you confess with your mouth what? The Lord Jesus. Jesus as Lord. The Lord Jesus. Until you're born again, you're the Lord of your life. You're part of the first part, second part, third part, and all the other parts. But when you get born again, you make Him Lord. He is Lord. He's part of the first part. You understand? That's how you get the knowledge of God through Jesus, by making Him Lord. God is a spirit class. Nobody knows anything about God except He comes to the Word. It is this Word that makes known God. Everything else, people, is guesswork. It's hypothetical and it's totally frustrating. It pits one human mind against another human mind. And it'll leave you in shambles. The only thing that ever will settle anything for anybody is to come back to a knowledge of this Word. And let this Word, rightly divided, speak. Class, it's the only thing. God is spirit. You can't feel, smell, taste, or touch spirit. Now, how are you and I going to know God? There's only one way, and that is His Word, which He wrought especially in Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus Christ is called the Word. He is God's communication on the level of the senses to men. Because men could not see God, hear God, smell God, or taste God. But they could see Jesus Christ. They could hear Him. When He walked upon earth, they could see Him. And those who saw Him, it was of that reality and great truth that Jesus Christ said, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. Jesus Christ knew you couldn't see the Father spiritually. But what He was saying was that He who has seen what I have done for Him, because I always do the Father's will, that person will be able to know God has seen the Father. Grace and peace, and grace is divine favor, and peace is certainly a lack of fight in it, is multiplied when people get a knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus as Lord. When they get that knowledge, then the grace is multiplied, do you understand? Then peace is multiplied. Verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. According as His divine power, knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His, God's, through Jesus Christ, divine power, His divine power, hath given unto us all things, everything that pertains unto life and what? Godliness, through the knowledge of Him. So if you want things that pertain to life, in plain language, if you want life with a capital L, there's only one way people are ever going to get it, and that is through God and a knowledge of God and His wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to get it. You can search at all other sources, and you will become emaciated, defeated, and frustrated. You will quest for years and years and years, And instead of growing in more grace and peace, and instead of having more life, day after day and week after week, you'll end up having less. And that is a frustrating fact. This is why the world needs our ministry, people. Why the world again needs to hear the integrity and the accuracy of the Word in all of its greatness, with all of our love and all the ability we have to say it and to hold it forth. Because it is He that makes possible life and godliness. You see, this word godliness is used again in verse 6, at the tail end of that verse, in the opening of verse 7. This word godliness means a spiritual relationship. With God. And it's set in absolute contradistinction with religion. This word. Because there is never any godliness in religion. There's only a form of it. And that is not truth. That's counterfeit. I'll say it once more, and then you can check it out from here to Europe, far as I'm concerned, because I know what I'm talking about. This word godliness that's used here is set against religion. It is a spiritual relationship with God. It's not a form trip, like having a form of what? Godliness. That is religion. All things that pertain unto life and what? Spiritual relationship. Everything that pertains unto life and your spiritual relationship. Not religion, your spiritual relationship. Because when you were born again, you received of His divine nature. Not religion. You received Him. God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, this life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of Him, you'll never know that you've got life, and you'll never know that you have this spiritual relationship without the knowledge of Him. And that knowledge of God you get from His Word. Who hath called us? Him who called. The word hath may be delivered. He did not, past tense, hath called. When you're born again of God's Spirit, you are called. Not hath, you are. This is why that word must be deleted. Knowledge of Him who called us. He called us. To what? To His own glory, is the text. He called us to His own what? Glory. Like a servant. It says, called us to what? His own glory. Well, I understand this. I'm a marked slave. So now I'm going to be to His own what? Glory. His own glory. Some of you people must think I'm nuts. Well, I'm not. But you see, people, there's just nothing like God's Word. And most of this stuff has been hidden for centuries. We've gone on great religious trips. We've been sincere, but sincerity is no guarantee for truth. Religion is not Christianity. Christianity is what God wrought in Christ. The Word of God is the will of God. It means what it says. It says what it means. And it is this Word you've got to burn in your heart and mind. Then you have what it talks about here, life. Then you have godliness. He called us to His own glory. Well, that's pretty glorious. And virtue. Now, I know that virtue means you don't get contaminated with somebody. No, shoot, it isn't that silly.
That's right.
That word virtue here means a unique and separated superiority. A unique kind of excelling excellence. That's something. Just imagine that. That He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and superior excellency. Oh, glory, I could cry about it because nobody sees these things. They read the Word, they never see it. Because the adversary wants to keep you living below par all your life. He'll say to you, you can't do it. He'll say to you, you can't have it. I don't care what he says, I've got it because the Word says so. Now I've got to act like it. He called us to His own glory. Well, how glorious is God? Well, that's how glorious you appear before Him when you sell out and when you walk in His knowledge. His own glory and superior excellence. Virtue. Verse 4. By which... See, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and His superiority or excellence, by which, not whereby, but by which, are given unto us the exceeding great and precious promises. They're given to us. They're given to us. Well, if they're given to us, then I've got them, right? Now, I may have it and never know about it because nobody told me. In spiritual things, understand? If I gave you this trip, you know you'd have it. But suppose this was spirit. You can't see, smell, taste, or touch spirit. And God has given you all of this when you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. But nobody taught you what you have. You'll never know it, honey. You'll never know it. By which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, in order that by these great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The word partakers means common to all. Partakers of His divine nature, common to all. When you're born again of God's Spirit, the same Spirit that's in me is in you, common to all. Partakers, got it? Of His divine what? Nature. And when you did this, you escaped, having escaped the what? Corruption. That is in the world through what? How long are you going to argue with it? The corruption that's in the world is because of what? Does this apply to every worldly situation then? Yeah. How simple the answer and how complicated people are, or think they are. Just look back over the history of our country for 3 months and put it in this verse. Look back for 30 years and put it there. It'll always fit, class. It'll always fit. Wherever there is corruption, it's always lust. And lust begins where need ceases. And it's always a vying for power, a vying to have more than what you really ought to have to begin with. Now, it says we have escaped. Having escaped. Having escaped the corruption. That is in the world through lust. And the word corruption that's used here simply means getting worse and worse and worse. You escaped this. You escape getting worse and worse and worse. And the older people get in years, outside of the Word here, not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and selling out to Him, the more corrupt they become. They get worse and worse and worse. But they have learned the refineries to cover it up with, you know, in the senses world. I tell you this, Peter speaks like as it was written this afternoon. Addressed to our people in our country at our time, to you and to me, by which we're given these precious promises. And by these, we were made partakers of the divine nature common to all. And we escaped this getting worse and worse and worse. We escaped it. Verse 5. And in addition to this, in addition, added unto it, this is wrapped up in that wonderful package. And here in verse 5, you have the beginning of a figure of speech called polysyndeton. Because in 5, 6, and 7, the word and is used 7 times, one right after the other. And I really never understood its immensity and greatness of it. Until about 2 hours ago. And I've read this and studied, but I never understood. I guess it was when Earl Burton walked in, and he walked in at the wrong time as far as I was concerned, you know. I was just working my heart out, trying to get some of the depth of this thing within my soul before I came over to the Bible Center before 4 o'clock. And Earl Nancy walked in. And everybody knows how much I love them and their great stand in the state of Ohio and across the world. Really great couple. And I saw him coming to the door, and in my mind I said, "Oh, Lord." And Earl walked in, and he blessed me and Nancy. And he said, "What are you working on?" I said, "I'm working on something I don't know the answer to." He said, "Goodbye." Out he went. See, he knew where my heart was. He just came in to say hi. And I told him then, I said, "I got to know the answer to this, because I knew it once and I've forgotten it. It makes me feel bad if I forget something and can't get it back." And the many ands in here is what I was working on, because they're all very important, and I'm going to only hit them very briefly here now because I want to close. But it says in verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence, add in your believing, not to your faith, add in. You know, add in your believing. Add into your believing. Got it? Virtue. It's remarkable that the second great thing stated is virtue. you know. First, you're giving all diligence, giving all your attention, all of your diligence. And how, this is how you're going to add to your believing, number one, what?
Virtue.
Remember the superiority, the excellence? This is what you add to your believing. The excellency of the greatness of that word. And to virtue what? And to knowledge what? And to temperance what? And to patience what? And to what? Brotherly. And to brotherly kindness what? There you have all seven ands. The word temperance is self-control. You see, you are absolutely in control of your decisions. You, by your freedom of your will, you made up your mind to do what you decided to do. You either accepted the Lord Jesus Christ or rejected Him. You go with the way ministry and its outreach by the freedom of your will, or you don't. You are self-controlled. In the spiritualist field, they're always controlled. You are self-controlled when you got the right stuff. Anytime you're controlled, it's the wrong stuff. Add to your believing this self-control. Something. Saw in a bookstore yesterday, and you know where I was, a beautiful coloring book on the occult. Terrific. I didn't see any coloring book on the Bible. All of this stuff, you see, it just, here's the world, the lust of the world, here's the word. And they just set so sharply. And religion plays the two, one over against the other all the time, you know. A little bit of the word wrongly divided, but act like it's the great truth, and a lot of religion. The word just sets like a diamond. And self-control, or this temperance, is that self-control. And after you have self-control, you have to have a little patience. Takes a lot of that sometimes. Because you know, you get born again in a moment of time, but to learn God's Word takes time. You don't learn all of God's Word tonight between 5 and 7. And that takes a little patience, diligence. Just day after day, you stay put on the Word. You stay walking day after day after day. Just stay walking. Patience. And here you again add this wonderful godliness, which I told you is spiritual, a spiritual relationship with God and not religion. And then brotherly kindness. Be ye kind one to what? Another. So many people are acclimatized to being kind to everybody else than the ones they really ought to be kind to. I see husband and wife, you know. The wife is a lot nicer to lots of other fellows than she is her own husband. The husband's a lot sweeter on other women than he is on his own wife. Somebody's got to be stupid. Here's the household of faith. If I can't be good to you and you can't be good to me, then why in the devil should we be good to the devil? That wouldn't make any sense to me, would it to you? If I can't love you, and if I can't be kind to you, if I can't bleed out my heart to you, why should I bleed it out to somebody who doesn't believe there's a God in heaven, much less care? The Word of God says we're to be especially good to the household of art. That is brotherly kindness. This is what I think of when I teach the Christian family and we talk about treating one another as brother and sister. In the courtship, in the, you know, holding hands trips and growing up. I think of this in terms of the whole body. You and I have to be sweet on each other because we're sweet on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's sweet on us, so we better be sweet on each other. See?
Right.
And the greatness of this thing was the last one, and that is what blew my mind. It's the word charity. Charity is the word agapeo, which means the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. All of this is built upon that wonderful foundation. At the bottom of it all lays the love of God, agapeo, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. And then it builds up. From the love of God, it goes to brotherly kindness. From brotherly kindness to godliness, or something, to patience and all temperance and virtue and diligence. That's how it builds. God's Word shows you the pinnacle up here at the top and breaks it down like this and shows you the rock on which it's built at the bottom. And that rock is agapeo, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be useless, barren is useless, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are in you, the Word of God says, you're going to have an abundance. You're not going to be barren, useless. You're going to be fruitful. It says it. That's exactly what happens when we walk in that and when we move in it. That's the greatness of part of this word here tonight. Heavenly Father, I've done my best to teach your people again the greatness of this word that you've set in my soul and among our people. And Father, when I've done my best, that's all that I can do. You'll have to do your best among the people to give them an understanding and a love of your word and a commitment in their life to all the greatness of your wonderful presence and power. And I thank you for this, Father, in the name of our living Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you.